This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
April is Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month. We're beginning a series of interviews today on that topic, starting out with Douglas Cares and Executive Director Sarah Wickersham. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
And who did you bring with you today?
This is Amanda Kramer. She is our grant writer and she's our events coordinator. So she has put together a really amazing celebration for our kids.
All right. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. First of all, for Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, kind of talk about it, as you know, in terms of what is it all about? What's the point of doing this?
Yeah. So, I'm not sure when this all came about to begin with, but April has long been a time where our community comes together to recognize that this is a problem for the kids that live with abuse and neglect, and that we really want to share awareness of it and also work really hard to put in place those things that help prevent it from happening to begin with.
So when you say child abuse, just to get everybody on the same level, how would you define that?
So child abuse is, it has a different definition in the law, but like what you could get criminally punished for versus child maltreatment, which is what we're really looking to address. And that's any kind of maltreatment for a child. And it can be like the things that you already know about, hitting children, sexually assaulting children, living in an environment where there's drug exposure. But there's also emotional abuse. So that's kind of a consistent campaign of putting a kid down, telling them they're not good enough, telling them that they're stupid or that they deserve less than other kids. That's pretty significant emotional abuse. You can also have financial abuse of children where you severely restrict their access to resources or have children for the purpose of getting money from them. For instance, if you become a foster parent, the state is very careful to make sure that you don't go into financial debt to be able to take care for that children. But there are people who have abused that system and kept the children in their homes but not given them what they needed and kept all the money.
Wow. A lot to think about there. What leads to parents, to other adults abusing children in some of the ways you just mentioned?
Yeah, that's a really complex story. The most common types of abuse and neglect that we see stem often from a lack of education on their part. So adults who were abused as children and just learn that that's the way you care for children, that's the way you reprimand, will sometimes recreate that without realizing it. But you also have a lot of stressors with poverty, with a lack of access to resources, and with substance addiction, where parents just don't have the mental resources to be able to care for children in the way that they need. Parenting's a big job.
And everybody can nod on that one. And a lot of people get into parenting not necessarily being given a set of instructions.
That's right. How many of us have had our own kids and thought, where's the rule book? it's complicated, and there's tons and tons of research and science behind it, but somebody who, you know, just goes out there and has children for the first time and isn't in this field, where do they get that knowledge? And most of the time they get it from their parents. And if their parents didn't know, it takes a lot to unlearn the things that you learned as a kid and to relearn new practices to be able to parent more effectively.
And do some people maybe not realize they've crossed a line from discipline or training or even thinking they are encouraging kids to actually abusing them?
Yeah, I think that happens often. I think that's a really important point to bring up. For instance, spanking. Like, where does spanking cross the line into abuse? And for me, I would never hit my kids because I've never wanted to teach them things with pain as the motivator. But spanking is very common, and it's not necessarily abuse. If it leaves a mark, it crosses the line into abuse. If it's for anything and everything, and if it's really excessive, then it crosses the line into abuse. But But a lot of parents believe they're being good parents when they use physical discipline, and it's not enough to constitute abuse in itself.
What about the impacts of this abuse on children in the long term, especially if it's, you know, not an isolated situation a few times, if it's a long-term pattern? What happens as they get older?
You know, there's really interesting things that happen in the brain of a child who's been abused. For one thing, they don't grow as well as the brains of children who are supported and cared for. There are places in their brain where they're just stunted. And that relates to them not being able to regulate their emotions as well, not being able to do as well in school, not being able to self-soothe. So if they get into a situation where it would make anybody upset, they're going to be much more upset than another person. It also long-term can impact their ability to consistently perform at certain tasks. So I talked about school a little bit. Those are things where you would expect somebody to be able to continue to grow in those areas, and it will hamper their ability to do that, both because they can't regulate and because they can't spend as much time thinking about executive skills like math and reading when they're worried about getting hit when they come home.
Wow. So how does CARES help to work with the victims of abuse?
I'll let you take this one.
So CARES is really good about helping kids identify those big emotions and how to regulate themselves. And our therapists are really good at helping heal that trauma.
And tell us more about how that happens.
So I'm not a therapist by any means, but I've witnessed that therapists really help those kids open up about things that have happened to them and realize it's not their fault and that they're not bad children and that they can go on to be successful, normal, happy adults in life.
Are there times when, and either one of you could answer this, are there times when the kids themselves don't realize they've been abused? They just think this is normal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We get kids that come in for a forensic interview and they need to tell their story. And for them, it's just a normal Tuesday. And then our therapist can help them identify things that could be better in their lives and how to make those consistent changes.
Wow. So Sarah, talk about some of the services that CARES offers to address all these things.
Yeah, so we have our primary services, which include the investigative pieces of the service. So those are forensic interviews. That's a place where a child can talk about what happened to them in a really safe setting with a highly trained interviewer who won't lead them or put ideas into their head because kids are very suggestible. And then we have forensic medical exams where our medical doctor, Dr. James, examines their whole bodies for evidence of bruising or burns or slap marks or sometimes neglect leaves rashes and infections and things like that on their body. And she writes a very detailed report. She is also very highly trained to understand the difference between accidental injury, because we know we've all had those kids, right, that will ride a bike off a deck.
You're not supposed to do that?
You're not supposed to do that. But those versus inflicted injury where somebody is intentionally hurting a child. So we provide those services, and then we follow the family through the whole court process. And while they're still involved with child welfare, we'll guide them through that process and be a support to them. And then from that side of the agency, we refer over to the mental health department. And on the mental health department, like Amanda said, we have the therapists, and we also have mental health support staff to help engage children outside of the therapy setting. So we take them to the park, work with them at home, work with them at school. In all aspects, we try to help make changes that will benefit them long term.
I know there's no average family that maybe you could pull data from, but does abuse in whatever form, does it tend to start younger, or does it start with older kids, or is every case very different?
Every case is very different, but there are trends for the different ages of abuse, and that's a really fascinating study to look into. When you're talking about little babies, we get squeezing injuries. So, like, parents will squeeze, or caregivers, or whoever will squeeze their hands until they get compression bruises. They'll bite babies. Little babies are more likely to get the shaken baby syndrome, where a parent is. You know, if we're giving the benefit of the doubt, they're trying to rock the child. They just get a little bit aggressive with it, and it ends up causing And I, when I say a little bit aggressive, I mean you have to get pretty aggressive with a child to cause the brain injury that is a result of traumatic brain, of shaken baby syndrome. And then as you get older, you get a lot more slaps around the head area and the bottom, bruising around the trunk area for like toddlers. Those are things that automatically tell you that something is happening to the child. You get into the middle school age, then up in older teens, you're more likely to see punching injuries because at that point, the kids are starting to fight back. And there is no kid who deserves to be punched by their parent. I want to lay that out there. And if a kid is hitting their parent at that age, it's because something's been happening to that kid for a long, long time. So always, always take that seriously.
All right, a sober topic and more of that when we come back to the interview, a podcast after one. At 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4, Marshall Laverne of the Family Development Center will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Amanda Kramer and Sarah Wickersham from Douglas Care is in here this afternoon because it is Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, doing a series of interviews on that topic. Three interviews this week and maybe more to come later in the month. Now, how do kids who've been abused, how do they end up in counseling and therapy? What's the path to get there to where they are actually getting some help?
Yeah, we have several pathways. The most common is from the forensic department. When we see kids over there and we identify a need, we refer right over to the mental health department. Child welfare can refer kids to us directly if they have a kiddo that they're working with that maybe doesn't need to come through our forensic side services, but they think they need some mental health services. They can refer directly to us. We have referral pathways with all of the schools in Douglas County, and we have providers stationed in some of the schools. But again, only for our children, only for the children who have had an experience of child abuse and neglect. ADAPT has the community mental health contract, and they do the school-based therapy program. So we have our providers who are able to go into schools and treat kids who've experienced abuse and neglect.
Now, what happens when you go through this, even if you get counseling and therapy, which, by the way, how long might that last?
That is different for every kid. Some kids just need a real brief intervention just to help them process what happened and then move on. Some kids will have experienced something so traumatic that they need a year or two solidly in treatment. And then what happens often is they'll do this kind of ping pong back and forth. They will go through treatment, graduate, be okay for a while, and then something will trigger a relapse of symptoms so that they are suddenly feeling depressed again and anxious again, and they need to come back in for services. So any kids who've ever been through our program can always come back at any time in their life, doesn't matter how old they are, and we will care for them again.
And do you see some of this going into adulthood, even with help, being something that really impacts your life in the long term?
Yeah, it really can. It really impacts somebody's ability to form relationships and to be trusting in relationships. Even people who have gone through the healing journey and are generally okay and maybe not symptomatic, there are still little bits of things that come up every now and then and will impact their ability to relate with other people. When it's really bad and they're obviously symptomatic, it can impact their ability to hold down a job, to stay on the right side of the law, to care for their own families. And just also remembering just really little basic things, like just being organized in daily life can be a challenge.
Wow. And how many folks do you have working at CARES these days?
We have 20 employees at Douglas CARES. We are bringing on a new therapist on Monday who will be primarily working in our outlying sites, Yoncalla and Reedsport, and then have a day in Roseburg. We're hoping to have an intern start with us in the next month or so. So we're going to start an internship program for therapists as well. And then next year we have another mental health program that we're expanding into.
And a lot of these, especially on the therapist level, I mean, these folks have gone through a pretty serious, rigorous level of education, right?
Yes, absolutely. In order to apply to be a therapist, you've got to have a master's degree in an approved program, master's of social work, counseling, something in the mental health world, clinical psychology, something like that. And then you have to go through additional steps to get a license. And we can help with people getting to licensure if they've already got their degree. And then our internship program will be for adults who are in their degree program. So they're nearing the end of their master's program.
It sounds like working in this whole field is not, I mean, it's not something you do just to make a paycheck at a certain level.
That is a very good observation. No, this work is hard. There are many, many easier ways to be a doctor or to be a therapist in the world and just have your easy clients and go home at the end of the day and not cry. It takes a very special person to work at Douglas Cares, and all of the staff who have given their time and their energy and their hearts to this work. I couldn't replace them if I tried.
Well, let's try to wrap things up on a little bit lighter note. You've got, now you just moved, we've talked about that, and you've got a couple of events coming up. Amanda, you want to tell us about those?
Yeah, absolutely. On Heroes Day, coming up this Friday, April 4th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we invite all the kids of Douglas County to come out to our new building on Diamond Lake Boulevard. And we're going to have games, prizes, got some food. It'll just be a really great time. We're going to celebrate the heroes, hence the name Heroes Day. Some of our heroes include Roseburg Police Department. We've got Aviva, Thrive Umpqua, CASA, Peace at Home, Gentle Breeze Counseling, Rogue Credit Union. We've just got a lot of really awesome community partners that want to come out and show kids that they can be heroes too.
What's the age range for this event?
Oh, anybody's welcome. Anybody. Come on out. 0 to 100.
And again, what time is that?
It is from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, April 4th.
So this Friday. And you've also got, because of the new building, an open house coming up. Talk about that.
Yes, on April 18th, we have our formal grand open house for our new building. We were so excited to move into this this beautiful building, brand new construction, designed for us and for the work that we do. And we are just thrilled to share it with our community. So we're going to have three separate options. The community is welcome to come from 9 to 11 in the morning. So anybody can come on down and be a part of that with us, come tour the new building, see what we do there, get to meet our staff. And then we have a couple of special blocks of time for the people who work with us every day. And then we want to honor all of the people who gave money to help support our cause with a sponsor's dinner in the evening. That's April 18th. Everyone is welcome from 9 to 11 in the morning.
And how much of the facility are people going to be able to see if they come out during that time?
We're going to show them the entire space. We don't have our outdoor play space built yet, but everything inside, we're going to give people a tour to go all the way through.
And you mentioned, too, expansion in the future, right?
Yes, that's right. So we are not quite halfway through year two of a three-year expansion plan for the mental health department. So this year, we opened up our co-occurring program that's for teenagers or youth who have experienced abuse and neglect and have sought drugs to help ease that pain. And then next year we're opening up a problem sexual behavior treatment program, and that's for young people who have had inappropriate sexual interactions with other young people, and we want to make sure that they learn the rules and the boundaries and learn to care for themselves so that they don't do that again.
All right, Sarah Wickersham and Amanda Kramer from Douglas Cares, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.